Cornerstone Church family. Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah 57, verse 15. Please stand for scripture reading. Please stand for scripture reading, sorry. For this saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Please send for open our eyes, Lord.
Father in heaven, I just thank you for the blessings you have in store for us this hour. As we open your word, I pray that you would open our hearts. Father, please remove every distraction from within and from without. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jiao shang hao, an shi ruo kuai le. Wo hen gao xing jin jin ke yi hei ni men zai yi qi. That was Chinese. Here's the translation. Buenos dias, feliz sábado. Estoy muy feliz de estar con ustedes hoy. My Hispanic friends tell me that in heaven, we're going to be speaking Spanish. For those of you who don't understand the language of heaven, what I said was good morning, happy Sabbath. I'm so happy to be here with you. By the way, I am Korean. What I'm wearing, as many of you probably know, is from the Philippines. It's called a barong. I'm just trying to be all things to all people. Really happy to be here with you today. I have one goal, and that is simply to ignite a spark that's gonna set this church on fire. Amen. Do you know why? Because we're bringing our AFCO students here in October for a prophecy seminar, okay? And the best way we can prepare the church for the work that's gonna be done is to set this church on fire. One of my favorite revivalists has said, you never have to advertise a fire. People come running when there's a fire. Is that correct? Amen. Likewise, when the church is on fire, you don't have to advertise it. The community will already know. Amen. Okay? By the way, this afternoon, I have another important message. It's part two. Very, very important. If you only get part one and you don't get part two, you're going to leave this place with a chemical imbalance in your brain. So it's very important that you come back. Amen. To join us this afternoon. Amen? Amen.
I thought you were going to say it in Spanish. Did you? Did you? Did you? Did you? I didn't hear it.
Okay, our message this morning is titled Adventism's Greatest Need. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave his disciples two commands. What were those two commands? It was to go, and it was to, well, it's on the screen. It was to go. There was also a command to wait. Now, of those two commands, how are you doing with those two commands? As a church, how are you doing with those two commands? The command to wait and the command to go. Now, of those two commands, which is the easier? Is it easier to wait or is it easier to go? Wait. You all agree with that?
No.
It's much easier to go. It's much easier to go. For someone in the military, for a soldier, it's much harder to stand still than it is to march and do drills. And it's no different for God's warriors. It's much easier to go than it is to wait. I mean, we have a hard time just waiting for our fast food to come out. Is that correct? Friends, waiting is one of the harder aspects of the Christian experience. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Amen. Not many days from now. Friends, is that promise as much for us today as it was for the disciples?
Yes.
Yes, it was. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Friends, we need power. We need social power. We need power for holy living. We need power for service. And we need power to be effective witnesses for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if you had a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz with a turbocharged V12 engine, do you think you would have a lot of power? But guess what? You're not moving one inch without what? Gas. All right? You're not moving one inch without gas. Friends, if we don't have power from on high, I mean, we could have a nice sanctuary, we could have nice programs, but we're not getting very far without power from on high. If that makes sense, say amen. These all continued with one accord in fundraising. Is that what it says? One accord in many church activities. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Friends, when Jesus ascended to heaven, do you know what he left behind? Jesus left behind a prayer meeting. The early church didn't have a prayer meeting. The early church was a prayer meeting. Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to prayer. Acts 3:1, going up to the temple at the time of
prayer.
Acts 4:24, they raised their voices together in prayer. When the apostles in Acts chapter 4 were unjustly accused, arrested, and threatened, they didn't call for a protest. What did they do? They went to their knees. When in trouble, they prayed. When threatened, they prayed. When intimidated, they prayed. And when persecuted, they prayed. Acts 12, verse 12, where many people had gathered and were what?
Praying.
Acts 13, 3, after they had fasted and
prayed.
Acts 20, verse 36, he knelt down with all of them and
prayed.
In the early church, prayer was primary and prayer was prominent. Prayer was a core value. Friends, they weren't praying for a strategy to reach the world. Prayer was the strategy. Prayer was not a part of the work. Prayer was the work.
And prayer was not part of the process. Prayer was the process. Friends, prayer is the real work. Prayer is where the battles are fought. Prayer is where the victories are won. And prayer is where souls are won to Jesus. Evangelism is simply the mopping up. Okay? Sharing the good news is just gathering in the fruit. This fall, when Brother Carlos, AFCO director, comes here to do his series, we're simply coming up here to do the mopping up. The real work takes place now. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication, give thanks. And in Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Friends, prayer ought to permeate every aspect of our lives. The pen of inspiration tells us that a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our what? Our first work. A revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. What is the difference between revival and evangelism? Revival is the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. The work of the who? The Holy Spirit in the church. Evangelism is the work of the church in the world. So we need revival first before we go out to reach the world. Now, what I want to do is I just want to share with you some personal experiences I've had over the years, things I've seen of the working of the Spirit of God among God's people. There was a ministry that I was a part of called Army Bible Camp. Anyone here by chance been to an Army Bible Camp? Fantastic, I see a few hands. So we used to run Bible camps that were 4 days in length. We would invite all these different speakers, and the speakers would share their unique method of studying the Bible. And during these camps, there was a heavy focus and emphasis on prayer. At the first camp that we had in SoCal, I and another leader, a ministry partner, we went to the leadership and we said, hey, what if we had prayer meeting at 6 a.m. in the morning? And the response we got was, you know, that's a great idea. We really need more prayer, but trying to get people out at 7 in the morning is hard enough. And we don't want to turn people off by saying, hey, there's a prayer meeting at 6. We said, hey, we get it. Hey, what if we make it optional? I mean, you can't argue with that, right? And my friend was on her knees at 4 a.m. in the morning. She is praying. And what do you think she's praying for? She is praying that God would wake up the people and bring them out. And that first morning, Thursday morning, we had about 20 individuals show up. Praise God. The next morning, Friday morning, we had 40 individuals show up. And by the third morning, we had 80 people show up. And we just saw the Spirit of God begin to move. Okay? When grown men are in tears confessing their sins, you know God is at work. Amen? Brian Edwards, in his book, Revival, A People Saturated with God, says God frequently brings his people to the point of desperation before he sends revival. Only then will they learn that without me, you can do how much? Nothing. Anybody here tired of the status quo, just going through the motions week after week? Anybody here desperate for revival? At our second camp, we decided to have even more prayer, and we had this prayer room, which is open all day long. And the amazing thing is that on Saturday night, which is the highlight, we have testimonies. We have testimonies. And 70% of the testimonies were coming out of this prayer room about the healing, the miracles, the relationships that were restored. So many stories coming out of the prayer room. You know, at our Army Bible camps, we would start testimonies at about 7 in the evening, and sometimes it would go to like 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning because there were so many stories, because the Spirit of God did such an amazing work in the lives of so many people. This is Allison. She was 15 years old. She came to our camp in Leone Meadows. I want to share with you her testimony. She says, I was raised a Seventh-day Adventist and have always attended meetings and Bible camps. I grew up knowing our doctrines and professing to have a relationship with God. However, something was always missing. It was never real for me. Can someone relate to this testimony? You've gone to church. Maybe you've grown up going through Adventist education, but something seems to be missing in your experience. She says, after coming to the prayer room, I realized why I had no power in my life. I was missing prayer. I was missing a genuine and powerful prayer life. After experiencing this in the prayer room, it made me want more. She comes on Wednesday night. She comes to the prayer room for 1 hour on Thursday. The next day on Friday, do you know how many hours she spends in the prayer room? By the way, this is an individual. She shared in her testimony that she struggled to pray for more than 5 minutes a day before coming to Army Bible Camp. On Friday, she spends 8 hours in the prayer room. What's going on? 8 hours in the prayer room? Someone who struggled to pray for more than 5 minutes a day? I was so inspired by it that I decided to email my youth pastor and tell him what I had experienced. Now I'm starting not one, but two prayer groups in my area. I love the prayer room because there I'm able to experience what I have lacked for so many years, and being there encourages me to make this a daily part of my life. In Gospel Workers 2:5-4, we're told prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. It is the secret of what? Spiritual power. The American evangelist Billy Sunday once said, he who is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. So all these people came to our Army Bible camps, complete strangers to prayer, but they would no longer leave strangers to prayer, strangers to power, that is. No other means of grace can be substituted and the health of the soul be preserved. We Adventists, we are a people of the word, and praise God for that. But are we a people of prayer? Okay. It's been said, all word and no spirit and you dry up. You what? You dry up. All spirit and no word and you blow up. But when you have the word and the spirit, you grow up. Friends, we need both the word and the spirit. Amen? Amen? Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life. Who is the wellspring of life? Amen. That is Jesus Christ. And strengthens the sinew and muscle of the religious experience. So why did Allison spend 8 hours there in the prayer room? Who did she come into contact with? With Jesus. That's right. That's right. What was she missing in her life all those years? She was missing Jesus. This is Robert Villegas. This brother was going through intense spiritual struggles, and the devil did not want him to come to Army Bible Camp. By the grace of God, he made it, and he thought he was all alone because everybody looked like they had smiles on their faces, and they were singing at the top of their lungs. He felt like he was all alone until he came to the where? The prayer room. That's right. This is his testimony. I've never had an experience like I had at the prayer room. Wow, God be praised. You're together with other prayer warriors coming together before the King of the universe. I've always wondered how Jesus could have prayed for so long when he was on earth. Not anymore. The time passes quickly. This has been such an encouragement for my life. I will never, ever be the same. Prayer has made such a major impact on my life. I just want to praise God. Amen. Here is a picture of our brother on his knees, crying out to God. Okay. So why is it? Why is it that so many can spend hours in the prayer room? Andrew Murray, the South African author and pastor who's written many, many books, he has said, when the spiritual life is healthy under the full power of the Holy Spirit, praying without ceasing will be natural. Did you get that? Let me say that again. When the spiritual life is healthy under the full power of the Holy Spirit, praying without ceasing will be natural. So if we are struggling to pray for more than 5 minutes a day, what is that indicative of? The spiritual life is dead, is not healthy, it's not under the full power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Friends, where there is much prayer, there is much Holy Spirit. And where there's much of the Holy Spirit, conversely, there is much prayer. Now, notice this statement from the Spirit of Prophecy. The greatest blessing that God can give to man is, what is the answer? This is from the pen of inspiration. What is the answer? Is it the Holy Spirit? Notice what she says. Is the spirit of earnest prayer. But doesn't she say something about the Holy Spirit being the greatest gift? Notice this next statement. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for the world, and through this sacrifice comes the greatest blessing God could bestow. What is this greatest blessing? It is the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is she contradicting herself? Or is it that when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the spirit of earnest prayer? Does that make sense? So if we don't have the spirit of earnest prayer, it's because we're lacking the Holy Spirit. Notice this statement. The Holy Spirit is the breath of spiritual life in the soul. We read earlier in Gospel Workers, page 254, that what is the breath of the soul? Prayer is the breath of the soul. But here she writes, the Holy Spirit is the breath of spiritual life in the soul. Friends, praying and the Holy Spirit go together. The impartation of the Spirit is the impartation of the life of Christ. Charles Finney, the great American revivalist, has said, nothing is more calculated to inspire a spirit of prayer than to unite in social prayer with one who has the Spirit himself. If you are struggling to pray for more than 5 minutes a day, if something is missing in your Christian experience, one thing you can do is unite with others who have the spirit of earnest prayer. Others who have the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? In other words, get together with others who are on fire for God, and that's going to help you get on fire for God. There's one other thing you can do that's very, very effective, and I'm going to mention it this afternoon. So please, come this afternoon. This brother with the long hair, with the braids, his name is Lawrence. This brother, as a young man, was a gangbanger and worked as a pimp. He had a sordid past. He came to the camp meeting at Soquel, and we invited him to the prayer room. This is his testimony. I have never experienced prayer like this before. It was so powerful. Words can't describe the presence of Jesus dwelling in the midst of our humble cries and thanks to our Heavenly Father. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ, and through this prayer room, I experienced a taste of it. Well, we invited him to the next Army Bible camp that was coming up. He came to the next Army Bible camp. Now, do you know what this brother's idol was? It's in the picture. That's right, it was his hair, his long braided hair. It was his idol. Well, at the camp, the Lord spoke to him and said, you're going to come work for me now. So guess what? The hair has to? It has to go. And he showed up on the last morning with his hair cut. Is that amazing? I mean, we saw so many lives being changed by the convicting Spirit of God. Friends, we were seeing revival and reformation. Revival is renewal of spiritual life. Reformation is a change in ideas and theories, habits and practices. Friends, if you have revival without reformation, you end up with fanaticism or emotionalism. And if you have reformation without revival, you end up with legalism. There was a time when our churches were very legalistic. The problem wasn't that we were lifting up the law of God. The problem is that our churches weren't praying. Does that make sense? This was at a youth conference in Baltimore many, many years ago. We surrounded this one individual on a Friday night who received terrible news about a family member that had been in a tragic accident. I want to share with you one of my favorite experiences from this prayer room. After a season of united prayer, which will last anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes, this individual came to me and said, there's a watch on the chair. I think someone, and I went to go pick up this watch, thinking that someone forgot to take the watch with them after the time of prayer. I picked up the watch. Underneath the watch was this note. It says, this watch is not considered lost, but surrendered. I should not have purchased it, and I confess it has become an idol to me. I knew better to have bought it when I did, and I no longer can keep it. God has revealed to me it is only one layer between him and me, and now I have one layer less. I mean, if I had the time, I could share with you so many stories just like this one, where people, where God convicts them about the changes they need to make in their lives. Things that are getting in the way that keep people from having a closer walk with Jesus. Imagine a church where guests from the community sense God's presence and love in the members, where testimonies of revival, conversions, changed lives, and prodigals finding their way home are abundant. Imagine a church where people are experiencing freedom from addictions, healing from illnesses, and marriages and relationships are being restored. Imagine a church where Christianity goes beyond mere talk, dry formality, heavy drudgery, hypocrisy, failure, and powerlessness. Friends, we want our guests from the community to come to this kind of a church this fall when we have the prophecy seminar. Amen? If all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. Do you all want to be filled with the Spirit? Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter of little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Friends, why is it that we're not seeing this happening in a lot of our Adventist churches? If Jesus were in our midst, would we expect these things to be happening? Absolutely. And if Jesus is not in our midst, it's because of what? It's because of an absence of the Holy Spirit. And the reason we have an absence of the Holy Spirit is because we're not praying. That's right. My wife and I and two of our friends went to Myanmar, to one of our Adventist colleges there. It's called Myanmar Union Adventist Seminary. And we had the privilege of spending 5 days there. Every morning, we'd meet with these students at 7 a.m. in the morning for chapel time. And then every evening, we'd meet with these students again. And every evening, we got on the stage together for a season of united prayer. We asked administration if they could give us a free classroom. And during the day, we invited the students to come by to this empty classroom to pray if they had some free time. Isn't this beautiful? God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Friends, revival is not rocket science, okay? It's quite simple. Ellen White says, let all seek for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you will seek for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your prayer closet, and I will seek for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then we will come together unitedly to seek for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God will bless. As with the disciples after the ascension of Christ, it may require several days of earnestly seeking God and putting away of sin. Friends, if we will put away those sins, and you may be saying, what sins? The sins that caused Jesus to suffer on the cross. The sins that crucify Christ afresh and put him to an open shame before his adversary. That darling sin of yours. And when I say that, something comes to your mind. That besetting sin of mine. And when I say that, something comes to my mind. Those darling, precious, besetting, cherished sins of ours. If we will be willing to put away those sins. Now, you may be sitting there saying, I get what you're saying, and I'm here racking my brain, and I can't think of a sin. My friend, for you, it is the sin of dishonesty. Because if we are honest with ourselves, if we don't play games, okay, we know there is a sin. Friends, if we would put away those sins, God will bless. This was the last night, Saturday night. This is after 5 days of praying. We were all up there on the stage together. And some were there on the steps because not all could fit there. It was a beautiful experience. And the Spirit of God began to move. We can't see the Spirit of God with our eyes. It's like the wind. We can't see the wind, but we can see the effects of the wind, right? What happens when the wind begins to blow? I mean, we could hear the sound of the leaves, right? Moving. There are two things that usually happen when the Spirit of God begins to move. We start hearing more amens. Hearing more what? Amens. And we start seeing people choke up and we start seeing tears raining down people's faces. In fact, Charles Finney, the revivalist, has said there can be no revival without Mr. Amen and Mr. Wet Eyes. Many students that night were in tears. Interestingly, the administrators of the school told us that the students that cried the most that night were the ones that were the furthest away from God. They were the most rebellious, most difficult students. They were the ones who their hearts were being broken by the Spirit of God. Friends, revivals don't begin by us having a great happy time. Revivals begin with a broken and contrite heart. Isaiah 57 verse 15, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Friends, the eternal, infinite, illimitable, omnipotent God of the universe dwells in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. I want a contrite and humble spirit. How about you? Amen. Ellen White says, "Humiliation, confession, and most earnest prayer will bring about that which all the devising of men, be they high or low, cannot accomplish." Friends, are we willing to pay the price? Yes or no? Are we willing to pay the price? You're saying, what price? Friends, the price for revival. There is a cost to revival. What is the cost? It's much prayer, but it's more than much prayer. It's humiliation, confession, and earnest prayer. For the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, every lover of the cause of truth should pray. If you are a lover of the cause of truth, raise your hand. Amen. For the outpouring of the Spirit, every lover of the cause of truth should pray. As far as lies in our power, we are to remove every hindrance to his working. Friends, do you know what it is that the devil fears the most? What is it that the devil fears the most? Well, I mean, there are many good answers, okay? But I'm looking for a specific answer. It's not prayer, and I'll tell you why it's not prayer. Because there are a lot of prayers that hit the ceiling and simply bounce back. The devil's not concerned about those kind of prayers. He's afraid of the prayers that go past the ceiling and result in answers. The devil gets anxious and he begins to tremble when we begin to remove every hindrance to his working so that God can pour out his spirit upon a languishing church. The spirit can never be poured out while variance and bitterness toward one another are cherished by the members of the church. Do you struggle with variance, with bitterness and resentment? Anybody here?
Envy, jealousy, evil surmising, and evil speaking are of who? Satan. And they effectually bar the way against the Holy Spirit's working. What is the root of envy, jealousy, evil surmising, and evil speaking? What is the root? It's pride. And if you struggle with pride, please join us for this afternoon's presentation. You won't want to miss it. Have you heard of the 1904 Welsh Revival? Evan Roberts was the leading figure of the Welsh Revival. I mean, this young man from the age of 13, he begins to pray for 13 years. And God outpours his spirit. The Spirit of God took hold of Wales, and in 5 months, 500,000 people became converted. It was the most widespread of all awakenings. It spread to China, India, Japan. It spread to all English-speaking countries around the world, even down to Africa. In preparing his congregations for revival, Evan Roberts would say, God will not send revival until our hearts are prepared. And he would say, we must rid the churches of all bad feeling, all malice, envy, prejudice, and misunderstandings. Bow not in prayer until all offenses have been forgiven, but if you feel you cannot forgive, bend to the dust and ask God for a forgiving spirit. You shall get it then. Friends, the one thing that is keeping so many Christians from experiencing power in prayer and keeping so many Christians from experiencing revival in their lives is the inability to forgive. Friends, Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Friends, this is very serious. Your inability to forgive, you cut off the channel through which God wants to give mercy to you. Are you struggling to forgive? Do you have ill feelings? Do you harbor bitterness and resentment? You know, I heard a missionary say that can you think of anyone that if you were to see in heaven, you would not be happy to see them? Can you think of anyone, if you were to bump into them, you would say, what? I can't believe you made it. If so, you have resentment in your heart. You have unforgiveness in your heart. If you are struggling with bitterness, resentment, or pride, friends, go to the cross. Go to the cross and behold the Prince of Sufferers. Behold Jesus, who bore in his own body your sins, your shame, and your guilt. In his own body, on the cross. Bow down before the cross and ask God for a forgiving spirit. I spent some time in Korea working at a new start lifestyle center. And we saw people with all kinds of illnesses, diabetes, cancer, depressions, people with stroke. We saw all kinds of people experiencing healing. And for many of these individuals, do you know when the moment of healing came? It came when they heard about the love of God, his great sacrifice, so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And how God calls us to go out and forgive others. At that moment, when they chose to forgive others, is at that moment when healing would begin to take place. Okay. If you cannot forgive, you will get sick. You will get sick. And you will not experience power in prayer. You will not experience revival. Friends, we need to ask God for a forgiving spirit. Amen. The recent meetings, a couple of months ago, last month, in Papua New Guinea. I mean, it began to rain. And the speakers thought the people would all pack up and head on home. But to their surprise, the people were pulling out their umbrellas and they stayed till the end of the messages. There were close to 400,000 people baptized through these meetings. Friends, I believe that the outpouring of the latter rain
has begun. In Zechariah 10:1, it says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Friends, I believe that we are living in the time of the latter rain. One day, we're going to see God's Spirit being poured out here in North America. But friends, it's got to start somewhere in North America, amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if this church here could be the epicenter of this mighty revival that we are anticipating, that we know will happen in the future? Friends, the question is this. Are we willing to pay the price?
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, hymn number 569, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Father in heaven, this is our prayer. This is our humble cry that you would not pass us by. Father, please do a work in our hearts. Please set our hearts on fire for you. Give us, turn us, Lord, into burning and shining lamps for you. And please turn this church, Lord, into a great light, a beacon of light that'll be such a blessing to this community. Amen. Father, we want to go home. We have seen enough. We want to see the work finished. Please have mercy upon us and bless us.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us. Please be seated and have a blessed Sabbath day.